What is our prayers this morning? When handling the Word of God, we realize it's very serious. Jesus said His words that He's spoken are going to judge us, so no, we're not here this morning to waste our time. We're here because we're concerned about our souls. I am. I believe you are too. I'd like to read a scripture. I'm going to talk about hope, eternal hope. I'd like to start off with a scripture, if I could. The 24th chapter of Matthew. Jesus spoke in the 36th verse, but of that day, well, let's read 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus said that He's coming back. The angel said He was coming back. But Jesus tells us here in the scriptures of that day and hour, knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I read this past week, where someone once again had predicted that the end of the world would come on the 23rd of May, Saturday a week ago. You know, that's foolishness, isn't it? When God's holy word tells us that no one knows the day and the hour, isn't it foolishness to try to predict or say such a thing?
Yes, it is.
And it's even more foolish to believe such a thing, isn't it? But the message that they got out was that the Lord was coming back and there was going to be the rapture was going to take place. And so that got people's attention and got people thinking about those things. And that's foolish too, isn't it? Because the Bible doesn't teach us that there'll be a rapture. It teaches us that the world will pass away, the elements will burn up with fervent heat. There won't be anything left here when Jesus comes back and calls His children home, takes them up into the clouds and into glory. There won't be anything left for people to live here for another 1,000 years or any certain amount of time. It's foolishness. It's foolishness when people make those kind of claims. We know they're false. Now, there are people that believe, some people believed it, I'm sure. You can say just about anything and somebody will believe it. But to believe something like that is false hope. To have hope in the Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I have a hope this morning, and you do too, don't you? I'm thankful for the hope that I have, and it's founded in Christ. But it isn't in this life only. But my hope is in the life to come, eternal hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Let me give you Webster's definition here. Hope, to desire with the expectation to obtain. I am expecting to obtain something. My hope is not in someone trying to foolishly warn us or tell us that the end of time was coming, when the Bible tells us plainly, no man knows the hour or the time. But the Lord said for you and I to be ready. We don't know when He said, therefore be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He is coming. I believe in that. I believe that. And my hope is in that this morning, that the Lord is coming back again to call His church and His children, to gather them together and take them home. And I'm thankful for that hope today. But I look in a world today that so rooted and grounded in so many things that are false, so many things that are wrong, believing things that are wrong, that are contrary or contradicted to the Word of God. And their hope is in those things. And folks, that is a false hope. I heard a teacher tell a story one time. He said that there was going to be a test. He was going to give a test. And one of his students, he knew to cheat on tests. And he got word that the student had gotten into his room and took a test out of the teacher's desk. And he took it home and he studied it. And he knew everything that was going to be on the test. I got this one. I'm going to ace this test because I've studied it. I know what the test is, and I've studied it, and so I'm going to get an A on this test. Well, the teacher knew that it happened. He had gotten word of it from someone. I forget who. And so when the day of the testing came, he went up to that fellow and he said, "How do you feel about the test today?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to ace this one." He said, "Oh, you are?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm going to ace this one." He had a hope. He had it all in his mind because of what he had done. "I'm going to ace this test." Well, the teacher passed out the test, and of course you can all guess that the test was totally different than the one that the boy had taken home and studied. And it was on all different type, a different type of material. Questions were asked differently. You know, you can rearrange a question and make it hard when it's really a simple thing. So the test wasn't anything like the young man studied, and he didn't get a good grade on it. But he had a hope. He had a hope. I'm gonna ace this thing. I'm gonna pass this with flying colors. And all because that he had went in and he had cheated. But the teacher found out about it and gave out a different test. People live their lives today when it comes to the needs of their soul, when it comes to eternal things, with a false hope. Putting their hopes in doctrines and doctrines of men, the Bible says, and in false teachings of men. Putting their hopes in someone that water down the Word of God, putting their hopes in things that will let them down, will not stand, will not be there for them when the judgment day comes. But I'm thankful this morning for the hope. It says, expect with a confidence, an anticipation. My hope is bright today. And my hope that I have surely doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on anything that I can do or anything that I have done except give my heart and life to the Lord. That's what my hope depends on today. And I'm thankful for that. There is a hope that we can have that is not false. There is a hope that we can have in Christ. And I just want to read some scriptures today. I just want to encourage us today to know that in the midst of this world and all the trouble and all the sorrow, all the sadness, all the wickedness, all the evil that is going on in our world today. Folks, I'm thankful today that the saints of God have a hope and it is shining bright within our souls. It's encouraging to me to have a hope. The writer said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you don't remember anything else that is said here this morning, I want you to remember this. Folks, your hope shines bright because of the faith that you have in the Son of God. Your faith, it is your faith. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. My hope is I haven't seen Him come yet, but I believe He's coming, don't you? My faith takes it in that He's coming. And folks, that's not what makes my hope bright today. My faith, let your faith be strong in God. Let your faith be strong in His Word. Believe His Word, and folks, you'll be saved. If you will believe His Word and be obedient to His Word, you will be saved. And you will have a hope shining bright, eternal in the heavens. And I'm thankful for that today. When I know in my heart. Now you know, salvation requires honesty. It requires us being honest. Being honest with myself. Being honest with God, and quite frankly, being honest with the devil. Because there's a territory, there's a place in my heart and in my life where I want Him to know that He is not welcome. I want Him to know that He is not allowed to go there. I want Him to know that my faith and my hope shines bright, eternal in Jesus Christ. And no matter what it comes, no matter what it portrays, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how people change around me, I want Him to know that my hope is founded on a solid rock. And it's founded on Jesus Christ. So it requires honesty from us. Hope, a true hope, requires obedience. It requires you and I to be obedient to what we know and understand. Because when we have met the conditions, God set down some conditions. He did. He has a standard for you and I to go by. And when we have met those conditions, we can claim the promise, can't we? We can claim the promise. Folks, we need that. You and I, as mere humans, we need that. We need to know that, devil, I have met the conditions. I've done what God has required to all that I know and understand. And I can claim this promise. And my hope is bright no matter what you say. No matter what you do. Because let me tell you, you can look around and you can see people on drugs. You can see people taking drugs to quell their disappointments and discouragements. And depressions, they're all around us today, aren't they? But folks, we don't need those kind of things. Because our hope shines bright in our Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's begin with Colossians, the first chapter. And I'll begin right at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. How did John say that over there? He said, by this shall all men, you'll know something about that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And you notice how Paul begins this little dissertation here, this letter that he's writing to the folks. And he reminds them, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And he carries that on. And he said, of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Yes. Folks, my hope is laid up in heaven this morning.
Yes, thank you.
My hope is not in people.
Right.
People disappoint. People let you down. People don't meet the expectations that you have for them. And there's a lot of people that get discouraged and get down today because they put hope in people. We love one another. We love our families. We should. But folks, don't put your hope in people. Don't put your hope in families. They'll let you down. But he said here, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day that ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. The hope that we have this morning is laid up for us. My hope is, I believe it today because my hope is that strong. I believe it's going to happen that way. I couldn't help but think of my sister as I was considering some of these things this week, thinking about my sister Della, and thinking about even her funeral and how I felt the Lord come down and bless and meet us there in that funeral. And we sang that hope, that song, Hope, at her funeral. There is a hope that we have within us. And I'm thankful for that. She had a hope. I asked her, and I've said it before, but I said when she was dying, and she knew she was dying, I knew she was dying, and I was in the room with her, and I said, Sis, I said, are you afraid? And her eyes were closed, and she opened her eyes, and she said, afraid? And I said, yes. She said, of dying? And I said, yes. And she said, no. Not afraid of it at all. You know why? Because she had a hope. She didn't have to be afraid. Because she had a hope. Was it in what she'd done? Was it in how that she had been so successful in life? Her hope was in Christ. Her hope was in Christ. Since the day that we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Folks, I thank God this morning for the saints. I thank Him for the church. I thank Him for a people of God that still loves purity, still loves holiness, still is willing to be separate from this world, still willing to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that today. And my hope is in Christ Jesus, and I have a love for Him. And I have a love for the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you. Paul reminded them of that hope, folks. It's coming. It's just right down the road, and it's not that far off, especially for some of us. It's not that far off. It's right there, and it's waiting for us. Whenever we get to that place, and he said, come ye blessed. Come ye blessed. Folks, don't you want to hear those words? My hope is in that. It isn't what the government can do. It isn't what people are going to do. But my hope is in, come ye, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
I read something that said some people trust in the elephant. Some people trust in the donkey. But I trust in the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Folks, that's where my hope is. Do I believe that this country is going to get turned around? No, I really don't. I really don't. I believe we're that close to the end of time that this country is going to keep going right down to the destructive nature that it has already took on of itself. And I don't believe it's going to turn around. But folks, that doesn't bring disappointment. That don't bring sorrow to my heart. It brings hope and peace to my soul in knowing that Jesus Christ died for me. Knowing that He's coming for me. I'm thankful for that today. Oh, I am so grateful for the hope that we have in Christ. Let's look at another scripture. I just want to read the scriptures. I remember my Aunt Armilda. She was a preacher. Her and my uncle Sam Abbott, Sam and Armilda Abbott, Some of us remember them. They were both preachers of this gospel and of this way. And she said one time when she got in the pulpit, the Lord just called me to read the Scriptures. And that little woman could say in a half hour what it takes me an hour to say. And she talked fast and she was concise and to the point. She had an education that I didn't have too. But she said, the Lord called me. Folks, the Scriptures. Do you get encouragement from the Scriptures? Do you feel the power, the glory of the Scriptures this morning? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. What else are you going to hope in? You can't put your hope in anything else. Only in Jesus Christ, Paul said. That's where my hope is this morning. Titus, the second chapter. We know this Scripture. In the 11th verse, Paul said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul reminded us there is a hope. But he also reminded us that we are to live, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Folks, there's a cost. There is a cost. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. But there's a cost for you and I. We must give up the world. We must set ourselves apart from the world. And he said here, deny, live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Now. Right now. And he says, when you live that way, when you take that way of holiness, you take that way of righteousness, it's not popular with the world, folks. It's not popular with the next door neighbors. It's not popular with the children today. But folks, he said, when you live that way, he said, you got something to look forward to.
Yes,
looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of our Lord, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a hope this morning that anticipates Christ's coming. If I didn't have that hope, I would be of all men most miserable. If I didn't have that to look forward to, with all of life's disappointments, some of us have had a lot of disappointments in life, and the rest of you are going to meet a lot of disappointments in life, because life is full of disappointments. We anticipate things. We expect things out of doing this or this person and what they're going to do and all that. Folks, but when our expectation is of the Lord, when our anticipation is of God, we'll never be disappointed. We'll never be let down. But it shines bright in our hearts, not only today, but when we draw that last breath. When we go to leave this world, and we know that, as Brother Carl is faithful to tell us, at the end of every man's life, there's God. When we draw that last breath, and we know we're going to be brought into the presence of God. Lord, I thank You for the hope.
Yes.
The blessed hope. That blessed hope, He said. And the glorious appearing. The eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for it? I'm so thankful for it today. Like to look at another Scripture found in Hebrews. I know there's a lot of them. No, we're not going to read them all. But there's a lot of Scriptures. May the Lord help us to be encouraged this morning. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, I want to point out the beginning in the 13th verse. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, along with that, could we look at Romans, the 4th chapter? The 4th chapter of Romans that speaks about Abraham here. And I want to pick it up in the 17th verse. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking of Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God makes things that are not even there. He said things which be not as though they were. The way that people think things are going to be, God changes those things around and makes them the way that He wants it to be. You know what I asked the Lord this morning when I was praying for our services today? I asked the Lord to bless Brother Rick in the Sunday school. I asked the Lord to bless Brother Clint. And I said, Lord, while you're at it, will you please bless me and will you say what you want said? Because you're the one with the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge and to know the needs of each and every heart, and you know what to say. I don't. We don't, brother. We don't really know what to say. You get up behind the sacred desk, you're dependent wholly and completely on God. I don't think anyone would deny that. Lord, help us to know what to say. He said He takes those things which be not as though they were. And then He said, who against hope believed in hope. Yes. What does that mean to us this morning? Abraham was what? Around 99 years old? And the Lord said, you're going to have a son, and his wife was 90? You know, human nature tells us that those things just don't happen. But God takes things that are not and He makes something out of it, folks. He took you and I, sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the ungodly and He made us holy. And He made us righteous creatures. And Abraham says, what? And Sarah laughed, didn't she? When she heard what the angel said, she laughed. Folks, God can do the unthinkable. He can do those things that are exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. God can do those things, but where's your hope? Your hope is where your faith is. Your hope is where your trust is. It may not look like it to the natural eye, but folks, go beyond that. Go beyond that old natural eye. Have hope. Have faith in God. Against hope, believed in hope. When he didn't even thought it in his human mind, no doubt, this isn't possible. This can't possibly happen. But yet God said it would be so. Folks, you and I cannot have salvation today. It is not possible if God hadn't said it to be so. And sent His Son to this world to give His life and die for you and I. Christ was made sin for us. You know, that's very humbling to me to read that. That Christ, the Holy God, come down here and was made sin for you and I. Folks, doesn't that make this very weighty upon my heart, on our hearts this morning? Doesn't that really put the burden on our hearts, a responsibility that we have to a God that was made sin for us? He came into this world and died that you and I could live. That you and I could have that blessed hope. Against hope, believed in hope that He might become the father of many nations. But the 19th verse says, being not weak in faith. That was his hope, was his faith. He was strong in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God. Lord, help us this morning. Folks, we're looking at some desperate situations in our world, in our country. Desperate situations. We're looking at people. I think of my children sometimes. I have three in their 40s and one just a short distance away from 40. And I think, Lord, how? Now, this is just my thinking. Lord, they walked away from the truth. Every one of them came to service with me. Every one of them has heard the truth. They walked away from the truth. They're going out there taking their own ways. Just think about this for a second. They're taking their own way, living their own life. Well, one of them maybe decides that they maybe better start going to church. So they find them a place to go to church. They don't teach the truth. They don't teach a standard of holy living. And yet they're going to follow this thing and make a pretense of following God. God, is it possible? Is it even possible that you could save their souls and make them ready for heaven? Folks, I'm staggering. I have to admit, I'm staggering. Because it's staggering me to think that that's possible. But you know what? I believe with God all things are possible. Yes. I really do. So I'm asking the Lord to help me this morning. It said He staggered not at the promise of God. And I read in the Word of God that it's not His will that any should perish. You read that too? It's not His will that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Now, I know that there'll be people saved and get to go to heaven that didn't know everything that you and I know. They won't have the same understanding we have. And they won't have taken advantage of the opportunities that were given them, but God in His mercy and His love. And that's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on His mercy this morning. And He is a merciful God, folks. Abraham counted on it too. God said it, so Abraham was determined by faith to believe it. Folks, God said it. And by the faith that I have in Christ this morning, I believe it. It makes it right. It makes it right in my heart. And it brings hope and peace to my soul. He staggered not through the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was able also to perform. Oh, I thank God for that this morning. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, going back to the 6th chapter of Hebrews, in the 16th verse, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Folks, that transcends from Abraham's day to my day. That transcends that down to our day, folks. He willing more abundantly to show the heir of promise the immutability of His counsel. God tells you and I this morning, I have something greater than what I had for Abraham. But I chose Abraham that I would bless him in order to propagate my church and to have a church down through the ages. I chose Abraham and I worked it that way. But today you and I are the heirs of that promise. God had said, when men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, that God that confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible. Folks, my soul is eternal. It will live forever. And I'm staking that on Jesus Christ. That to a God, it says, that cannot lie. He's not lying to us this morning. My hope is bright. Because it says, by two immutable things, the Word and the Spirit. It said here that it was impossible for God to lie. We might have not to not lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that was set before us. By the grace of God. And I think we all need to reassure ourselves as best we can, by the grace of God, folks, there ain't nothing. Nothing going to take me away from this truth. There ain't nothing going to change my consecration and the stand that I have taken for God. By His grace. By His grace. I intend to make heaven my home. And I believe we all have that desire today. He said, lay hold on the hope that is before us. Now, I caught something. I want to read some more of that, but I caught that last verse of this song Sister Diana called, perfect submission, all is at rest. You know, if I really, truly have hope in Christ, I don't have to be in turmoil anymore. I don't have to wonder if. You know, there's a lot of worriers. You know what I heard about a worrier this past week? Someone that takes a molehill and wants to make mountains out of it. I have a hope in Christ. It's eternal in the heavens. By a God that is impossible to lie. And he said here, perfect submission, all is at rest. Lord, help us, saints. We got the best that there is. There's nothing better than the truth. There's nothing better than salvation. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Does that sound like hope? Sound like hope to me. I'm looking above. Jesus said, when you see these things coming, where do you tell us to look? Tell us to look up, didn't he? Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. You know, I'm firmly convinced this morning that's a good place to be lost. Be lost in the love of Jesus. Let it flood your soul. Let it surround you. Let it lift you up in times when the enemy and things would come to discourage us. The song says the sun is shining behind the clouds. The sun is always shining. I've been up in the plains enough to know that the sun's always shining in the daylight time. Even though the clouds are so thick below me, I can still see the sun shining. The sun is always shining, folks. And he said here, let me read it again, to lay hold upon the hope which is set before us, which hope we have. That's an anchor of the soul. What you anchored on this morning? Don't be anchored on ideas. Don't be anchored on anything of this world. This world's going to pass away. But the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I'm so grateful this morning for the hope that I have. It's an anchor. I'm anchored in it. The song says something about being anchored in the haven of rest. I'm anchored. My hope is bright. The world? Oh, certainly. You know, people ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm blessed. And my being blessed doesn't have a thing to do with what's happening around me. It doesn't have a thing to do with how people are behaving. It doesn't. Doesn't have a thing to do in the direction, how the direction of our country is going. But I trust in the Lamb. And my hope is anchored in Him. I thank God for that. You know what that brings? Think about it. It brings peace. It brings peace to my soul. When I have that kind of hope and anchor in Christ, it brings peace. I want to insert this in my little message this morning. Because the devil is real. And I know how some of the ways, quite a few of the ways, that he likes to work on us in our minds, in our thoughts. And here's one that I want you to grasp and get a hold of. You're able, and I believe you are. The devil tries to get us to rationalize our relationship with God. By that I mean the devil tries to get you and I to look into it and to insert our human wisdom and wisdom in our relationship with God. Lord, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Lord, why do I feel disappointment here? Why do I always wanting to rationalize? Whenever I begin to rationalize my relationship with God or anyone else, I can soon become justified in whatever it is that I'm doing. So that's a trap, folks. That's a trap. I wanted to insert that here. Don't sit around worrying and trying to rationalize your salvation. Accept it. Meet the conditions, be obedient to all you know and understand, and accept your relationship with God. And don't let the devil come along and try to throw all kinds of foolish things in there, and thoughts in your mind, and trying to rationalize. You don't have to rationalize it. You have to have faith and trust, which brings hope and peace to our souls. I'm so grateful for that today, that we can have hope in Christ. He staggered none. People stagger today, I understand that. When our hope gets a little, or our faith may get a little weak, and we begin to look at the problem instead of looking at Christ and looking what God can do. But I want to remind you that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that was set before us. I was telling Sister Lois and I was talking before service this morning, and I said, you know, some people have told me you just use your religion for a crutch. Well, they're right. It's not my religion, but it's my Lord that I use for a crutch. I need a crutch. I need Him to hold me up. That's where my hope is, folks. You can call it anything you want to. You can denigrate it, downgrade it, do whatever you want to do. But Jesus Christ is my, He's my hope and He's my crutch. He's the one that holds me up every day. Do I feel like it every day? Do we feel like it every day? No, we don't feel like it. There's a lot of days that I don't feel like it. But it isn't about feelings, is it? It's about the hope that shines bright in the promises. I have hope in the promises this morning. The promises of God. I want to read another scripture. And it's found in 1 Peter. First Peter, the first chapter. And begin reading at the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Why? How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What kind of hope would you have this morning if they would have crucified Jesus, put Him in the tomb, and He was still there? Wouldn't bring a whole lot of hope to us, would it? Really wouldn't. Not past this world. But the fact that He rose again, and the Scriptures tell us He's the first fruits of our resurrection. So Peter here says, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. Our eternal future is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He rose from the dead. Paul says in one place, I believe it's Galatians, he's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. Now he's talking about you and I having faith in Jesus Christ. But I still believe this morning that when Jesus was in that garden and agonizing and in the flesh and dealing with going to the cross and bearing the sins of this world, I still believe that Jesus had to have some faith in His Father that when He went through that, that God was going to bring him out of the grave. I believe Jesus had to have that faith. The flesh is always there to fight us, folks. It's always there to bring doubts. It's always there to bring fears. And it was no different for our Lord when He was in the flesh. Peter said, by the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe he had faith in his Father. Lord, help you and mine to have faith in the Father. Faith in the one that resurrected, come out of that grave, and we now have a lively hope because he was resurrected. God did all of this for you and I. It was done for you and I. Jesus didn't need to go through all that. He already was sitting on the right hand of the Father. Already had His glory. Angels ministering to Him throughout eternity. But He came down here for you and I. That we can have a lively hope through the resurrection. He had to go through the whole process. He had to die. And that's the way it is with you and I. We die out to self, to the world, to sin. And then we're raised again, aren't we? In newness of life. New creatures, Paul said. Oh, I thank God for the hope, the lively hope. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The devil can't touch it. The devil can't touch it. Just think when we get there, folks, and we have met Jesus and He takes us to glory, the devil never touches us again. Forever and ever and ever. Yet there's people that want to stand up and tell the world the Lord's coming back on the 23rd of May. That's foolishness, isn't it? It's a mockery to God's Word. My hope's greater than that. My hope is in a risen Savior. A resurrected Savior. That's where my hope is. And it shines bright. And I hope someday that if I go out like my sister did, someone asks me, Brother Larry, are you afraid? I hope I can say, no, I'm not afraid. I'm going to go see my Savior who gave His life for me. That's where I'm going. By the grace of God. Folks, we can have a hope. We can have it here, and we can have it right now. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved. Got your reservations? Reserved in heaven. You know, I've done a lot of traveling. And back when my family, children were young, and we took a lot of trips. I think we took them to just about every state in the Union while they were growing up. And in the contiguous United States. And when we were planning a trip, you ever plan a trip? I'm sure you have. You know, part of the fun is planning the trip. Part of the fun is looking forward to the trip. Folks, I'm enjoying my trip. But I got reservations. It's not at the Hilton. But it's in heaven. Reserved in heaven for me. Get your reservations, folks. This world will disappoint you. Everything around you will let you down. You can't get too involved in that kind of a thing, folks. Don't forget about your reservation. It's founded in a risen Savior, in Jesus Christ. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And it said, he went on to say, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes, in our walk with the Lord, He sees that we need to be tempted. We need to go through some things. If need be, He said, for a season. But folks, that's not the end of it, is it? The end of it is we have a reservation. We have a hope in Christ. I'm so thankful for that. I'd like to read one more scripture, and then I, Lord willing, will be finished. This scripture is read many times at a graveside or at a funeral. But I'd like to read it in our presence this morning, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I've got loved ones and many saints that I've known now through the years that I got a hope. I got a hope to see them again. It's not a false hope, folks, but I got a real hope because it's founded in Christ. I remember, what was it, a couple of years ago, I was doing my sister-in-law's funeral and talking probably to 100 or so people that I didn't even know. And I told them, I said, I'm duty bound. I have a responsibility to tell you. I said, we come to these places and people look into the casket here and say, well, they're in a better place. I said, that is not automatic. That isn't automatic. There are two places the Bible tells us that people go to, souls go to. I said, you have to make the preparations. You have to have a hope in Christ. Doesn't mean that everyone dies, goes to heaven. That's not happening, is it? No matter what we say, that's not happening. But he says here, concerning them that are asleep, sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, don't you want to see him? I want to see him again. Want to see your mom again? Absolutely. I will see my mom too. I was only 24 when the Lord took her out of my life. I want to see her too. I want to see the saints. I want to see Jesus most of all, don't you? The one that died for us. Loved us so much that He was willing to go through everything that He went through for us, for our sakes, because we needed it. We needed it so badly. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also are asleep, Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's just the beginning, folks. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them, the Lord, in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that today is coming. I don't know when. I'm not going to be foolish enough to say when, because I don't know. The angels don't know. But Jesus said it's coming. It's coming. And He told us, speaking of death here, He said, comfort one another with these words. I take comfort in that. Dying in this life is only the beginning of the eternal life that we will be able to enjoy if we die in Christ. My hope. You got your reservations, folks? Keep them up to date. Keep them up to date. Keep your hope in Christ. He's the one that's going to take us to glory one day to be forever with the Lord. Pray for me, because I sure want to be there. And I sure want to be faithful. Amen.